I want to share with you a message this morning. I told you about a week or two ago about this. It's entitled, Our Portion, Our Portion. So I want to start off this morning. I'm going to let Alan get back to his desk over there to help me with the screen here. But the title is Our Portion, and the first slide is a great question. What's your favorite dessert? What's your favorite dessert? Think about that for a second. Look at some of those. And then what portion of that dessert would you like to eat? How big of a portion would you like of your favorite dessert? Think about that. Because a portion is a serving and a helping of that favorite thing that you like, that favorite food, that favorite dessert. That's what a portion is. But a portion is also, it's a part or share of something that you give to someone or that someone gives to you. And so it's important, what is our portion? And furthermore, a portion is also a part of an estate that is received by an heir. Now, Kathy just lost her dad, and he left a portion to each of his children of his estate, what he and his wife, Kathy's mom, had accumulated. And some of you have been through that as well at the loss of parents. You've received a portion of what your family has given to you. It's your inheritance. And I want us to think about that word this morning, inheritance, as we go through Scripture. A portion is a part of an estate that is received by an heir. Well, Romans 8 tells us that we are heirs of God, but we're also joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That's a powerful thing. You know, some may have had super wealthy parents. Some may have had very, very poor parents, you know, that maybe your portion wasn't much or maybe nothing at all that you got from a parent on this earth. But when you think about those of us that know Jesus, the Bible says that we are heirs of God and all that he has. And we're joint heirs with our older brother, Jesus Christ. And so we have a great future to look forward to in heaven for those of us that serve the Lord. And so in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 18, God promises the nation of Israel that the land of Canaan will be given to them as the portion that they're going to inherit. Wow, the promised land that God told Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob about, the promised land that Moses, while they were still slaves in Egypt, held captive there, Moses told them about this promised land that God wanted to take them to. And so there's this portion that God had prepared for his people. Let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10, and we're going to pick up at verse number 12. And it says this, "But God made the earth by his power. He founded the world by his wisdom, and he stretched out the heavens by his understanding. When God thunders, the waters in the heavens roar. He makes clouds rise from the ends of the earth. He sends lightning with the rain and brings out the wind from his storehouses. Everyone is senseless and without knowledge. Every goldsmith, those that make the idols that people used to worship, every goldsmith is actually shamed by his idols because his images are a fraud. They have no breath in them. They are worthless, the objects of mockery. When their judgment comes, they will perish." We today sometimes can't figure out why would someone pay for someone to make an idol and then call that idol their god when it has no breath in it, it has no life in it, it was made by a human being, and there's no power in it, and yet folks used to bow down and worship and pray to those graven images, to those idols. But God says they're worthless. They're the objects of mockery. And when their final judgment comes, they're just going to perish. They're just going to be nothing. But look at verse 16. "But he who is the portion of Jacob, he who is the portion of the nation of Israel, is not like these, because our God is the maker of all things, including Israel, the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord Almighty is his name." I love that. God is the portion of Jacob. God is the portion of the nation of Israel. But Israel, the people that he chose on this planet, his chosen people, are his inheritance. And the Lord Almighty is his name that created all of this, the world and everything that's in it. Joshua 15, verse 13, we're told this. In accordance with the Lord's command to him, Joshua gave to Caleb a portion of land in Judah, that is, the city of Hebron. That was Caleb's portion. Moses promised that to him, and Joshua fulfilled the promise of Moses to Caleb by giving him the city of Hebron as his inheritance. Because if you remember, Joshua and Caleb were the only two of the 12 spies sent into the promised land that survived the desert. The other 10 died in the desert, just like they kept telling Moses, did you bring us out of Egypt to die in this desert? No, that's not what God intended at all. But that's what happened to them because of their unbelief. And that whole generation that marched out of Egypt, that first generation, they died in the desert, just like they had faith for. They died in the desert. But the next generation entered the promised land. And Joshua and Caleb headed that group. They were the only ones beside Moses that survived that. And they went into the promised land, and God blessed them with it. And the city of Hebron was Caleb's portion of that property. In Joshua chapter 18, verse 7, it tells us this. But the Levites, however, the priesthood, those that were of the Levitical priesthood, the Levitical tribe, they do not get a portion among you, the scripture says, because the priestly service of the Lord is their inheritance. That is their portion. They get the joy and the responsibility and the privilege of being servants and priests unto the Lord and unto his people. And so they did not inherit land as the other tribes did, a huge swath of land. Now they did inherit a city to live in, but they did not inherit a huge piece of land like the other tribes did, because the Lord was their portion. The Lord was their inheritance. In 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9, if you remember this, as Elijah was going to be caught away from his servant Elisha, he asked him, what do you want me to do for you before I'm taken up to heaven? And Elisha said, I want a double portion of your spirit. I want a double portion of your anointing. That's a powerful thing. We know he got that. We know that he got that. We know the story that he picked up the mantle of Elijah. He struck the Jordan River, and it parted to the left and to the right. And the prophets that were watching, they saw that the anointing of Elijah rests now upon Elisha. And that double portion was given to him. We're going to look at another double portion a little bit later in the message that I want to share with you, a prophetic word about that. Right now, let's turn to the book of Psalms. And I want to go to chapter number 16. Psalms chapter 16, and we're going to pick up at verse number 5. Remember, we're talking about a portion, but we're also talking about our inheritance as well. Psalm 16 and verse 5 says this. David, of course, writing here, he says, Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. Has God assigned you your portion yet? Do you know what your portion is on this planet? We know what our portion is coming up. It's going to be heaven. But what's your portion here on earth? We're going to talk about that. He says, Lord, you've assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. You've made things around me secure, my kingdom and all these things. David says, you've made me secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Aren't you glad that God, as a parent, as a great parent, sets up boundaries for us? He sets up boundaries for us to live within, you know? They're rules, natural rules, they're spiritual rules and laws. And if we live within those rules and laws, we're going to be blessed. If we're obedient, God always blesses. But if we're disobedient, we have to pay a price. But David tells him, he says, Father, you have the boundary lines for me, you've let them fall in pleasant places. Surely, look at this, I have a delightful inheritance. I love that. Next week, we're going to talk about our delight. Today it's our portion. Next Sunday, we're going to talk about our delight. Who or what is your delight in this world? David said, surely I have a delightful inheritance because my boundaries, you've let them fall for me in pleasant places. Verse 7, I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. So even as David is laying in his bed at night, he says, the Lord is counseling me by his Holy Spirit. And he says, my mind is giving me instructions. And it's the Spirit of God that's moving in David's heart, in his mind, in his life, even through the night. Verse 8, he says, I have set the Lord always before me. David, as a teenager, served God. He killed the giant as about a 15 or 16-year-old boy, the story that we learned in Sunday school about David and Goliath. And he says, I've always set the Lord before me, and because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Have you been shaken with all the stuff that we've been enduring lately, the last year and a half especially, all the COVID stuff? I think if we're honest, we'll all say we've been shaken. We've wondered, Lord, where are you? What's going on? How long is this going to last? How long is this going to continue to last? We're still asking that question. But because he is at our right hand, because we know the Lord as our Savior, we don't have to be shaken. Therefore, he says, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure. If your mind is at rest, then your body can be at rest. But if your mind is troubled, your mind is worried, fearful, stressed, then sooner or later it's going to take a toll on your body. It's going to affect you in physical ways. And so David says, because you're at my right hand, I'm not going to be shaken. And therefore my heart, my mind is glad, my tongue rejoices, and even my body also is going to rest secure. Why? Because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. Now that's a prophetic word there. I've said it several times. You don't think of David as being a prophet, but David is a prophet. That's a messianic prophecy that David gives about Jesus who is to come. He says, you're not going to abandon that Messiah to the grave. You're not going to let that Holy One is capitalized there. It's because it's talking about the Messiah. It's about the coming of Jesus, the first coming. He says, you're not going to abandon Jesus to the grave. You're not going to let Jesus see decay in that grave. He's going to rise again on the third day. It's going to happen. Great prophetic word. But he's also even speaking about his own personal life. He said, I know you're not going to let me stay in the grave. I know you're not going to abandon me to that grave. And you're not going to let me see decay. You're going to take me to where you are. And then he says, you've made known to me the path of life. And you will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. I love that about the Lord too, because that's part of our portion as being a Christian. We can say with David that God has made known to us and will continue to make known to us the path of life. Again, we make our plans, but it's the Lord that directs our steps. He will make known to us the path of life. When we begin to stray to the left or right, the word says you'll hear a voice behind you that says, no, this is the way, walk in it. I love that verse. I quote it a lot. You know that. But God will show us that path. It's part of our direction for our lives. And then he says, you will fill me with joy in your presence. We sang about the presence of the Lord this morning. And when you're in the presence of the Lord, there's always joy. There's always peace when you get in the Lord's presence. And he says, you will fill me with that joy because of your presence. And you'll give me eternal pleasures that come because I'm at your right hand. I'm with you, and you are with me. And so eternal pleasures are there. I love that, because this earth offers pleasure in sin. There's no doubt about it. But it only lasts a little while. It doesn't last forever. It's not eternal. Now, the results of those pleasures of sin will be eternal. You'll spend it in a place you don't want to be. But Jesus, with him, there are eternal pleasures at his right hand. Joy unspeakable, full of glory, Peter says. These are what we can look forward to. Parts of all those things that we just read about. Those things are our portion, not just David's portion. It's not just Caleb's portion, not just the nation of Israel, but it's for all of us that know Jesus, that have been grafted in to the body of Christ and into the family of God. Praise God. Let's go a little bit further. In Psalm 119:57, David says this. He says, "You, O Lord, are my portion. You're my portion. I'm not looking to anyone else or any place else, but you, Father, you, God, are my portion." In Psalm 142, David prays this. He says, "I cry to you, O Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living." Guys, God is our portion right here, right now, in this life. David said, "I'm still confident of this, that I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." That's been a key verse for us a lot this year. I'm confident of this, that we're still going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That's our portion. David says it, "I cry to you, O Lord. I say, you are my refuge. You're my portion, Lord, in the land of the living. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to trust, and I'm not going to be afraid." In Psalm 73, Asaph writes this in verse 23. Psalm 73 and verse 23 says, "Yet I am always with you." Guys, there's never a time when God is not with us. There's never a time when we're not with him. Never a time that we're without his presence. And that's what Asaph is writing here. "I'm always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward, you're going to take me into glory." That's our portion for the future. And then he says, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire beside you." We sang about that this morning. He says, "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart, and he's my portion forever. God is the strength of my mind, and he's my portion forever." He is the strength. He's the power. He's the anointing in our lives. That's all our portion as Christians, as believers. The Bible says in the last days, men's hearts will fail them for fear, for looking at the things that are coming upon the face of the earth. The number one killer in America is still heart disease. That's still the number one killer, because fear has torment. Fear is not a healthy thing. It's just the opposite. And so he says, "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart, and he's my portion forever." Don't ever forget that. That's a great verse to claim. In the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, the prophet Jeremiah tells us this. He says, "I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. Be still and wait patiently for the Lord. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him. To the one who seeks him, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." He is our portion, so wait for him. Let's don't run ahead of God. Let's don't lag behind God, but let's stay in tune and in touch and in step with the Holy Spirit. It's good for us to wait quietly and patiently for the Lord, because he is our portion. The Bible says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, that will mount up with wings like eagles, run and not grow weary, walk and not faint." So, Lord, teach us to wait. So by now, we obviously see that it's the Lord that is our portion. And in so many different ways, so many different areas, in all the circumstances of life, God is our portion. He's our strong tower, our deliverer, the one that we run to. But I want us to check something out in Zechariah, the tiny little prophetic book of Zechariah. Let's go there. And we're going to go to chapter number 2 of Zechariah, and we're going to pick up at verse number 10. Zechariah chapter 2 and verse number 10, and it says this, "Shout and be glad, O daughter of Zion, for I am coming, and I will live among you, declares the Lord. Many nations will be joined with the Lord in that day, and will become my people. I will live among you, and you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. The Lord will inherit Judah as his portion in the Holy Land, and he will again choose Jerusalem. I love that. Well, I want us to pray for that tiny nation of Israel. I want us to pray for that city of Jerusalem. David said, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for they will prosper, those that love Jerusalem, and pray for Jerusalem. They'll be blessed. They'll be prospered by the Lord for doing that. We read in the memorial service yesterday from Revelation 21, 3 and 4, about this same thing that Zechariah is prophesying about, just like John did in Revelation. He says, I'm gonna live with you. I'll live among you, and you'll know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. He says, in that day, he says, I'm gonna be there. You know, I'll be your God. You'll be my people. But I love this. The Lord is gonna inherit Judah as his portion in the Holy Land, and he will again choose Jerusalem. In Deuteronomy 32:9, it tells us this, that the Lord's portion is his people. I love that. It's not just a land. It's not just territory. No, the real portion, the delight of our Father's heart is his people. It's you and me. It's people all around the world that have received Christ as Savior already. That's God's portion. The Lord's portion is his people. That may be a great deal for me and you, but that might not be such a great deal for the Lord, right? He gets the short end of the stick on that. But he's our portion, but we're his portion, and he delights in us. And then I want to close with another portion of Scripture this morning. I want us to turn to Isaiah chapter number 61. I mentioned this earlier. This is about the double portion that we talked about earlier. Elisha received it, but there's another one that's coming prophetically, and Isaiah gives us the word. It's a great chapter. We think of Isaiah 53 as being a great chapter about the Messiah, and it is. It's a great depiction of the cross and all the events that Jesus went through. But here is one as well about the first coming of Jesus. It's entitled in the NIV, The Year of the Lord's Favor. That's another portion that we have from the Lord, is his favor on our lives. We've talked about that in a message earlier this year. But Isaiah 61, let's begin at verse 1. And it says this, Isaiah prophesying, he says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. But then I love this. Here's what the Messiah comes to do as well. It's found, as you know, in Luke chapter 4. Jesus takes the scroll in the New Testament, and he reads this portion of Scripture to the people. It just so happened the day he walked into that synagogue, that was the portion that they were going to read that day. And Jesus comes in and says, I'm the fulfillment of this word. I'm the fulfillment of the prophecy that Isaiah is giving in this chapter. That's why the people were all against him, because they said, who's this guy? He's saying he's the Messiah. He's the fulfillment of this prophecy. But he was, and this is what he came to do. Look at this. He said, I've come to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the day of the vengeance of our God, but I've come to comfort all who mourn. I've come to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. I want to anoint you with the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. In the midst of everything we've gone through and continue to go through this past year and a half, we need these words of the Messiah to be true in our lives. We need the Holy Spirit to come, that anointing, that power upon us, to comfort us that are mourning. There's so many people all over this planet that have passed away from COVID and other diseases in the past year and a half. And he says, I want to comfort you. The Holy Spirit, the Comforter himself, will come and speak comfort to you and do that for those of you that are mourning. But he said, I'm also going to provide for those of you that are grieving the losses of your life, the distant past, the recent past, the things you might be what-ifing about for the future, potential losses. He said, I want to provide for you that are grieving. I want to bestow on you a crown of beauty instead of you sitting in ashes and mourning. That was a sign where they would sit in sackcloth and ashes when they were in grief or in a time of mourning. He said, I want to give you a crown of beauty instead of that. And then I want to give you the oil of gladness. Whenever you went to someone's home, they would normally have a servant wash your feet and apply some oil to it. They would also wash your face, and they would also apply oil to your face because of the heat of the desert and the dustiness of the roads and all these things. He said, so I want to give you this oil of gladness. You may be in a time of mourning, a time of grief, a time of loss, but I want you to be glad in the midst of it. And I'm going to help you with this oil. Oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to anoint you with this oil of gladness instead of your mourning. And I'm going to give you a garment of praise. We talked about last week the garment of righteousness, the robe of righteousness that Christ gives to us when we receive him. But he says, I'm going to give you a garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. Our planet is reeling from a spirit of despair this morning and a spirit of fear, worry, stress. Our planet is reeling from these emotions that people are going through. And he says, I want to give you a garment of praise instead of all that junk. God wants to do that in our lives. And he said, they're going to be called the oaks of righteousness. He says, when I come and I do all these things in your lives, you're going to become an oak of righteousness. You're going to become this massive, strong, powerful tree of righteousness in the land. And people are going to see the difference in your life that I make in your life. Isn't that what Malachi says? There's going to be a distinction between those of us that know the Lord and those that don't. Those of us that know the Lord are going to be oaks of righteousness, strong in the midst of all the junk. Those that don't know the Lord are going to be freaking out, fear, worry, what ifs, doubts, all kinds of junk. But he says, we're going to be oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord. The Lord's going to plant us in the land for the display of his splendor, not to bring glory to us, but to bring glory to him. Let your light shine that they may see my Father in you and that he may be glorified through your life. And then look at this, verse 4. They're going to rebuild the ancient ruins. In 2 weeks, we're going to talk about the ancient answer. The ancient answer. They're going to rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places that have been long devastated. They are going to renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. A prophetic word about the coming nation of Israel. Well, in 1948, they became a nation. And if you go there today, it's no longer desert wastelands. It's no longer abandoned to the animals like they had been for so many years. But they have restored it. Isaiah says in Isaiah 35, the desert shall blossom as the rose. And then Amos talks about the land being restored. And different prophets talk about that. Well, it's happened. It's happened. In the same field, you can see people planting seed, and the other end of the field, people harvesting crops in Israel. You can see that to this day because they've turned the land into a beautiful, beautiful garden. It's amazing what they've done. He says they're going to renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Aliens are going to shepherd your flocks. Foreigners are going to work your fields and vineyards. And you were not only going to be called oaks of righteousness, but he says you're going to be called priests of the Lord. You and I that know Christ, we're a kingdom of kings and priests and prophets unto the Lord. He says that's what you're going to be. You'll be named ministers of our God. You'll feed on the wealth of other nations, and in their riches you'll boast. The Bible says the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. Amen? That's who's going to inherit all of that stuff. And then in verse 7, he keeps going. Instead of their shame, my people will receive a what? A double portion. My people are going to receive a double portion. And instead of their disgrace, they're going to rejoice in their what? Inheritance. There's that word again. Their inheritance. God has an inheritance for us. And so they will inherit a double portion in their land. And look, everlasting joy is going to be theirs. Everlasting joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And that joy is going to be everlasting. Verse 8, for I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and iniquity. In my faithfulness, I will reward them. That's a portion that's yet to come to us. And I'll make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. Even those around us are going to have to say, you know what? That's got to be the hand of God on their life. There's no way that they could be doing that or be in that great shape emotionally or physically or financially or whatever way that you need a touch this morning. They're going to have to say, you know what? That's the hand of their God upon them. They are a people that the Lord God has blessed. Praise God. God wants to bless us. I really believe that. In spite of what's going on around us, in the midst of it all, the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Then he says in verse 10, I delight, there's that delight word again, I delight greatly in the Lord. Who do you delight in this morning? What brings you delight? What brings you delight? You know? Is it just that dessert we talked about at the beginning? Is that all we have to look forward to? Is the food we eat or whatever? What brings you delight? What lights your fire? What gets you going? What's your passion? He says, I delight greatly in the Lord. And my soul, the very depths of my being, rejoices in my God. Why? Because he has clothed me with garments of salvation. And he's arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. Whenever we come to Christ and receive him as Savior, that's what happens to us. We're clothed in this garment of salvation, this robe of righteousness, so that when God looks at us, he doesn't see our sins, our failures, our faults, our shortcomings. He doesn't look at our past. He doesn't look at present junk in our lives. He doesn't look at future junk in our lives. When he looks at us, he sees this robe of righteousness that has been applied to us. So he only sees Jesus. He says, oh, that's my son. That's my boy Jesus. And in him, I'm well pleased. And so they've received him. He's clothed them with righteousness. So now I just see Jesus when I look at them. So Paul says, we got that. Does that mean we can just go out and sin and live any way we want to? He says, no, by all means, no. No way can we do that. That's taking advantage of what God has provided through Christ. No, we still have to do our best to serve God, to live a sinless life. But Jesus is the only one that ever achieved that. That's why he came, because he knew that without that robe of righteousness from him, we could never achieve heaven as our home. So we've been clothed with this garment of salvation. We've been arrayed in this robe of righteousness, just like the rest of this verse says, just like a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest. You look at maybe some folks in other denominations that have these funny-looking hats, you know, the priests wear or whatever, and we, you know, see them made fun of on Saturday Night Live or whatever. They got these funny hats. Well, it's a tradition back then. It's a tradition that the bridegroom wears this hat, signifying he's the bride. Excuse me, he's the bridegroom. He's the bridegroom. And then he says it, but not only that, but you'll also look like a bride as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. Now, in our culture today, it's a ring, you know? It's a ring. Guys wear a wedding band, and ladies wear, if we can afford it, a really nice ring, you know, a really nice diamond. And so that's our culture. But in other cultures of the world, Like, for example, the Indian culture, they wear a necklace instead of a ring. It's a necklace for them that they would wear, and they don't have a wedding ring. The bride wears a beautiful necklace adorned with jewels. That's the Eastern culture. And so he's saying here, the bridegroom is Jesus, and the bride of Christ is me and you, his church. We're the bride of Christ. Amen? And so when we receive this clothing of salvation and this garment of salvation and this robe of righteousness, we're being prepared as the bride of Christ. And he's going to give us something to wear. One day, a crown is what we'll inherit as well as part of our portion. But he says, I want to give you, initially, to come to Christ, I want to give you this garment of salvation, and I want to give you this robe of righteousness, and then you become part of the family of God, and you become part of the bride of Christ, his church. And that's who he came to save, to deliver, and to take to heaven with him, is people like me and you that love the Lord with our hearts and are doing our best to serve him. Amen.